It's Monday, March 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. And I got a great show lined up for you tonight. I'm going to tell you, I've got some things to discuss with you. I think you'll be excited about. We'll talk about it here in a few seconds. Of course, Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone, get ready to strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Voicemail confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I want to encourage you to check out geeknewscentral.com for all our great content. It's not only a website full of content like this. We have bloggers that write for Geek News Central that put up lots of tech articles during the week. And lots of exciting things forthcoming to the website here in the next week or so as we launch a couple of new shows here at GNC to complement the show here that I do twice a week plus the Saturday morning tech show. I want to welcome all of the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the family and thanks for staying subscribed. For those of you checking out the show for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the show. And the best thing for you to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the podcast. You'll find a link to iTunes, to Zune Marketplace, to just use the standard RSS feed as well, whatever and podcatcher you're using. That way, if you get subscribed to the show, you'll never miss a single episode. That way, you'll be guaranteed that when this thing pops out every Tuesday and Friday morning, that you'll be one of the first to receive it. And that way, you'll be up on what's happening in tech. And, of course, following what's happening here at the show. By signing for our newsletter while you're at the website, the newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during the show tonight, including comments that have been submitted by listeners and viewers like you. If you've got comments on tonight's show, you can send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and leave a comment there. If you forget how to contact us, don't worry. All that information is on the website as well. So you really don't have an excuse. You can comment away as you feel necessary. Of course, those of you that are watching this kind of time delayed on the Roku and Boxy, thanks for being subscribed and kicking back and watching the show via your Lazy Boy. We hope you enjoy the show and love to hear some feedback from you on how the formatting's been over the last couple of weeks. Have we worked to refine the video process quite a bit? And, of course, that goes for our Ohana that watch on the website as well. Lots of stuff going on here. And we're coming down towards the end of the month. The next show will be the last show of the month. But I'm thinking about, been thinking for a while of making some changes. And, you know, the show has now been going 6.5 years. We're in October. The show will be 7 years old. That's hard to believe. That the show will be 7 years old in October. And over the course of the past 6.5 years, I've made minute, very minute format changes. And, you know, the formula of success has served the show well. But I think it's time to just kind of freshen it up a little bit. And we've tried over the years to bring in some different segments. Some have been more popular than others. And I've got a couple of ideas on some stuff I want to share with you. But we're definitely going to be shaking up the introduction of the show. Going to be basically splicing in more tech content sooner in the show, saving some of the general commentary for a little bit later. We'll kind of be mixing and matching it up a little bit. And that way, we're trying to satisfy an audience that has become how should I say, for a better word, more impatient for the news to get started. So we're going to go through and give a few of the hot items of the day, and then we'll go into kind of the commentary section and move into kind of the mundane stuff that is just general news and maybe isn't so top of mind. But basically, same amount of content, same time frame, just rearrange it a little bit. We'll see how it works. We'll see what kind of feedback happens. I don't know exactly when we're going to implement it. Maybe we'll do it in April, but I'm kind of working on the format now and doing a few practice shows here and listening to them to see how it sounds and how the flow goes. But definitely going to be making a little bit of a format change. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to look at the show going ahead 5 years and where we want to be when we get into the 2016 range. You know, obviously the show has been, you know, at this point, all the gear's been bought. We have everything we need in the formatting department as far as the process down for video. The audio stays the same. So now I really got to concentrate more heavily on the format of the show. And I'm sure this is going to invoke some comments, maybe positive and negative. But hey, that's, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll revert back to what is tried and true. Only you will be the ones that will be able to really tell me whether or not you like the format or not. And I guess that's the important thing. If you've noticed at Geek News Central, if you're over on the site the last couple of days, or since yesterday, I put up a posting on the studio, kind of showed everyone kind of the layout of the studio as it has been now for about the last year. And really kind of took some time and took some pictures, and I hope that you enjoy those. We'll show those a little later in the show. For those that are watching on the video, actually, I'll bring it up on the screen for you to check out. But kind of give you a little insight the way the studio is laid out. But I had to make room. Reason, I really went through a cleaning rampage. Here in Honolulu, where I live, there's always red dirt in the air. And even though my neighbors all have, basically all the development's done, basically to north to the south of us, there's still a lot of red dirt in the air. So if I don't dust, if I don't clean the office real good about once every month, the red dirt starts building up. And it had been a little while since I'd been through the office and really wiped everything down, and it was pretty nasty. So a little spring cleaning along with some rearrangements, getting ready for the new control surface. The new control surface gets here on Wednesday. I've got the UPS tracking number. And let me bring up the one camera that will show you, see if I can bring up the area. Right now, if you look right here where I'm pointing, those of you watching on video, and this is basically right below the monitor, is the control surface I have now. The new control surface is going to go to about here, and it's going to be a little deeper. So basically, I had to make room to the left. I moved the control surface for the cameras so I can, you know, basically drive the cameras back and forth over here. And now with the point-tilt zooms, even we don't use those very much, I had to move that and made some adjustments here just basically to get ready for the new controller. Now, I'm sure, like other things I do here, the very first night that I am on the new controller, I'm sure it's going to be comedy hour because I'll be five hands trying to figure out how to push all the buttons. But I'm excited to get that in here and be able to do the full capability of the TriCaster TCDX850. So once that's in, we'll get that set up. Actually, I've ordered a green screen. It'll actually fit back there. So we're going to be doing some green screen stuff to kind of shake it up so that you guys aren't just always looking behind me at the cabinet back there and everything that's going on. We'll put some green screen up and do some stuff there, interactive, and have a lot of fun with that. One thing that I think I told you guys this, I went a couple weeks ago to do an eye appointment and get my eyes checked every year. My father had high pressure in his eyeballs, so he had to take drops for a number of years. And I'm a little real leery about, basically having that same thing because it's hereditary, having that same thing develop and not me not know about it. So I go for a good eye exam every year and have the pressure check done and everything. And this year, I've always only needed reading glasses, and my prescription has gotten better. And or not better, but, you know, they've had to up it up a few, magnifications. And this time the doc is like, hey, you've been having trouble with driving? Are you getting any headaches or anything like that? I'm like, no. he says, well, I want to show you something. So he brought up a sample glass and he flipped it in front of me and basically had me looking across the room. And I said a four-letter word and basically I couldn't believe the difference. So yeah, age is catching up and so now I'm doing two types of spectacles and I no way I'm sticking contacts in my eyes. So and I have such a low prescription really compared to other people. You know, LASIK's not even a consideration at this point. I'll give my eyeballs a few years to get worse, but, and it's expensive too, but man, I hate glasses. I really do. I hate them something fierce, but, I'm sure many of you have had LASIK or wear contacts, but, the doc even said, your prescription's so weird. He says, you're not even good candidate for bifocals. So I'm carrying around two pairs of glasses now, and it does make a huge, huge difference. So if you haven't had an eye exam lately, you may not know what you're missing. You really, to be honest with you, I was kind of wide-eyed open because I didn't realize it was that bad. Hey, one thing I want to do here is, of course, I want to give a shout-out to one of our sponsors, GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and the reason they're a longtime sponsor is because of support by listeners and viewers like you. Get over to GoDaddy.com and look at their domain names, look at dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts. They have a whole variety of products, basically everything you need to get on the web, emailing address, basically email software, survey functions, you name it. GoDaddy's got it. And you can save a lot of money by using one of my promo codes. And really, all you got to do to use one of my promo codes is come over to geeknewscentral.com, come to the second column of the website, and you'll see a link there that says GoDaddy promo codes. That'll load you into the page that basically has all of the codes I have available. Just let me read a few through a few of these. CS25, Geek199, Geek5, Todd20, Todd, ComSale, ComSale2, Geek Central, Aloha, GeekSSL12. All of those codes are designed to give you significant savings no matter what you're buying at GoDaddy. Not all these codes work on all products. So if you pick up a hosting account and it's a one-year shared hosting account, you'll definitely want to check out that Todd20 code. Or if you're a brand new customer and you're picking up some products, CES25 will get you 25% off. Geek199 will get you $1.99.coms. GoDaddy's where it's at, folks. This is where I can save you a lot of money on renewals and on brand new purchases over there. And if you get over there and use a GoDaddy promo code, I'm greatly appreciated because it helps me keep the lights on here and helps keep the family fed. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor. You go out and check their products over at GoDaddy.com and you won't be disappointed. I had told you guys that I had set up a shared hosting account with them just as a way to get to kind of trial it and see how it works. They have unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. They have full integration of WordPress. I was a little bit surprised because I hadn't looked at their unlimited plans. They're pretty hot. And there's a number of other competitors that have unlimited plans out there as well, but not at their price. I'm going to be straight up with you. So they're using a cloud computing layer too. So now when you're on a shared hosting account, it's not like you're on a server that is a single server with 1,000 people. You're now on a cloud. So everything is built across multiple servers. So everyone gets an equal amount of performance. And I think that's really important today in hosting. So you definitely want to check out that new, some of their new features they have over there at GoDaddy. All right, let me go ahead and go through my list here. I got an email today from one of my listeners, one of the listeners and one of the Ohana members, longtime listener of the show, basically saying, hey, Todd, on your contest, what you're doing may not be completely legitimate. And basically, I've tied the contest we've had to people becoming insiders and making donations to the show. So I'm going to have to go back and look at that a little bit and see if that is, if he's correct and I'm actually doing something I shouldn't be doing. And then we've done this a number of times with the show over the years. And if I'm incorrect, then I will remedy that, make sure that we have a different way to do the contest. So I think what I'm going to do is we've had a number of people submit donations. We have had a number of people become insiders this past weekend in supporting the show. I think what we'll do is we'll put them in a, we'll basically close out the contest tonight for the and actually I've been testing it here. It's the Seagate Drive. This is what the winner's going to get. I haven't drawn a name yet, but this is I'm almost done with this. So this will get reformatted and we'll be put back in the box. And the winner will get this. This is a USB 3.0, 2.0 drive, high performance, 7,200 RPM on it. It's real nice hard drive. I've actually am liking it because it's very slim, stays out of the way. But I'll give that away at the next show. But we'll close out the contest for now. And the next contest we do, we'll do something a little different. But I do want to thank everyone that supported me during the last 3 or 4 days here on the show and making contributions to the show. It is greatly appreciated. So we'll give that away. Hey, if you didn't catch Saturday Morning Tech, we had two great hosts from Tech Podcast that were joining me. And everything went off without a hitch. No Murphy's Law, the gear worked first time up, and we went through. Waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning has not been fun to start the show here at 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Makes for a very long day, but it's good that I have to get up early anyway because I'm heavy into my last class and I've been knocking homework out Saturday after the shows. So I'm really looking forward to being done with college classes in about 10 more weeks. So I'm going to be finished. So anyway, that's it. Okay, let me go ahead and look through my list here. As you all know, both Luxor Las Vegas, and Audible were sponsors for us at CES 2011. Of course, GoDaddy was as well. And the time is running short for you to get a free trial and basically be able to book a hotel room at Luxor Las Vegas. There's links on the website. I've talked about it a number of times. If you're going out to Vegas, you want to support the show, go ahead and book your stay there through the website, and that's going to save you a lot of money. That deal comes to a screeching halt here at the end of the month. So definitely check out Luxor if you're thinking about going out to Las Vegas. Same thing with the free book offer. Free book offer goes away at the end of this month. So if you haven't picked up a free book yet through Audible, you can do that at audiblepodcast.com/CES. And of course, we've delivered millions upon millions and millions of impressions for the folks at Audible, GoDaddy, and for Luxor. And we want to thank all of you that have supported throughout the past 3 months here. It was a huge undertaking. We've had millions upon millions of, I think we're close to 21 million views of all the content from CES. And of course, that's, you know, way behind in the rearview mirror at this point. But those hits continue to come and deliver. So we want to thank all of you that did support that content and watch the content and shared it and so forth. It's been huge. But now Google has pretty much taken over and it's driving traffic to those two websites. All right, I've already talked long enough here, way too long, about the new format and everything else going on. So let me go ahead and bust into the content and we'll get through that tonight. But no matter what I do, I try to be fast, and it never works out that way. I'm always 15 minutes right at the beginning. It just drives me nuts. But you have to teach an old dog new tricks, and that's going to be the goal with the new format of the show. Now let's talk just a little bit here about ongoing woes over at Time Warner. Broadcasters have basically said they're going to sue. They're going to sue Time Warner for putting that content up and making it available on the iPad. And they feel that Time Warner is not doing what they've agreed to. And Time Warner says they have. So now it's going to go into the courts. Really, who's going to lose? Customers are going to lose. You and I are going to lose. You and I are going to lose access to content that we pay for. And they don't have this here in Hawaii, and I already cut the cord, so I wouldn't be getting it anyway. But any of you that are Time Warner customers, and you want to watch those 30 channels via your iPad, that may be going by the wayside here. We'll see. But as it says on the article over at Tech Dirt, and I love this, there's a certain genius at work when you think you win by suing a company that is putting your contact and ads in front of not only a broader audience, but people who are already paying a significant amount of money to view it. We live in bizarre times. Yes, we do. Now, one thing to add to our cutting the cord thing, my wife has found that a couple of the channels that she has not had access to have become a little bit of a discussion point this weekend. And she loves that we're saving money with cutting the cord with the cable. But she says, I want my such and such channel, and I want my such and such channel. And I'm like, you can't get it from here, baby. We got to find a new way to get it. So we looked online. We did everything we could do to try to find the content. We even looked torrent-wise, and none of that was even available. And I basically said, well, it's either you do without, or we have to call them back and call Uncle and give them $60 a month to get the basic service plus this extra, you know, plus package that had the channel she wanted. And my wife has been working a little bit part-time to basically, you know, the kids are getting older, so she wants to get out of the house. And so she's been working part-time. And I said, and you can pay the bill every month. And she looked at me. She says, we'll leave it cut. So we'll see. We'll see how this progresses. Only time will tell. A lot of people are asking the question, how the heck did New York Times spend $40 million on the paywall? And everyone is scratching their head over this. And they feel that the only thing that really could have cost as much as it has for them to roll out their new website was a new database to track all of us, the number of views we were watching and where we were coming from, so that it would force us, after watching, you know, coming to the website a few times, to pay. That's the only thing that people can think of at this point. Otherwise, no one can quite figure out where New York Times spent all their money, unless they were lying about the amount of money that they spent to get the site launched. Hey, this should not come as a surprise, but the ICANN, ICANN, has asked the United States government that it wants to go private. Meanwhile, the U.S. government has said, no, we want more control. And this article, another article from TechDirt, basically, the ICANN boss sent a letter to the U.S. government asking to be set free. And basically, the government came back and has said, no, we want more control, not less. And so this is going to get ugly before it gets, I don't think they're going to cut them loose. Now, the question is, how is the rest of world opinion going to follow in line with this if the United States says no? So what do you guys think? Do you think the ICANN should be cut loose and let to do their own thing? For those of you that live outside the United States, I think this is a no-brainer. For those of you that live within, what do you think? I personally, at this point, with them launching the XXX .com or ., you know, the you know what I mean, the .xxx domain, with them approving that, what is there left to protect? You know, because they didn't control them from doing that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here with this. But, you know, it's all about sandboxes and trying to play nice with one another. And the U.S. doesn't want to play nice, that's for sure. Good article over at pcpro.co.uk. And I haven't been on this site, I think, in years. I remember traveling through the UK, actually flying into Heathrow, and I would always try to pick up a PC Pro magazine because they always had some of the very best free software that they would provide with the, not free, but many of it was shareware and some of it was review applications that they would provide within their catalogs. And so anyway, when I found this article today talking from their website, talking about, can you really be traced from your IP address? Talks about accuracy that they're finding, at least in the UK, on being able to track specific IPs back to a specific user. And they're actually finding that the science, just as we suspected here, is proving to be a little bit more harder than what they say, because they're, you know, with the way the ISPs have set up and renewing IPs and who gets it, logging in and all that tracking, it's not as clear as it appears to be. But the courts are basically saying that it's very hard to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it's the same customer breaking the law. So it's a good write-up. We'll see if this develops anything in case law in the UK or not. But at least there's the judicial system starting to really question the effectiveness of tracking individuals by their IP address. Found this article over on Slashdot today, and you got to love this. A 12-year-old boy by the name of Jacob Barnett is a math genius. He's mastered many college-level astrophysics courses by the age of 8. Now, think about that. I'm in a little puny, you know, 500-level statistics class, and this guy is mastering a college-level astrophysics course at the age of 8. Now, he's working on an ambitious project of his own. It's an expanded version of Einstein's theory of relativity. And there's about a 9-minute YouTube video. And if you want to have your mouth draw open, this is pretty impressive. He's putting some math stuff up on there that makes me go, huh? I mean, at 8, he's like, whew, he's up here, folks. And, but anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. Just watch the video. I think you'll enjoy it and hearing him speak a little bit about his theories. So, yes, do we have an Einstein in work? I think we do. Anyone that can conquer a college-level astrophysics course by the age of 8 has definitely got my respect. That's for sure. There's an interesting article about Mac OS X. And I've always asked people, what are you developing on? Are you developing websites on a Windows machine? Are you doing it on a Mac? And the answer's always been kind of mixed. But an individual just picked up a new job, and he talks about his experience now with working on a Mac. He had the choice of a MacBook Pro or a Lenovo ThinkPad. And he really thought he was doing the right choice by picking the MacBook Pro. And turns out he's not very happy with the choice he's made and wished he would have actually picked up a Windows PC. So this is kind of an interesting dilemma. And I don't claim to be a web developer, and I don't claim to know half of what these guys do from a programming standpoint. But for those of you that dabble in this, what is your preference? I'd like to hear from you what your particular preference is as compared to this gentleman's. So you can email me, of course, or you can comment at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. I think we've all become very aware that there's lots of stuff going on out there in the world of hacking that is pretty dangerous. A study has come out by McAfee saying that cyber crooks are targeting corporate trade secrets. You know, if people didn't know that, then I'm sorry. They should pull their head out of the sand. But in a new study of underground economics and intellectual capital and sensitive corporate data, now the latest crime currency, McAfee and the Science Application International Corporate, SAIC, which is a company that has lots of government contracts, found that the theft of trade circuits, marketing plans, R&D data, and even source code is on the rise, especially such information is often unprotected. So basically, they did some surveying. They found that a quarter of the company surveyed said a data breach or just the threat of one has put hold on plans for a merger or a new product launch. Among those that actually suffered a data breach, only half of them took the necessary steps to prevent it from happening again. Now, this blows me away. We had a little scare a couple of months ago when Angelo, our developer, our CIO at Raw Voice, his non-company Gmail account was hacked, and it was because he had a weak reset password. And within that email was one or two usernames, but no passwords to some of our stuff. And we freaked out. I mean, we went over the top. We probably spent 2 or 3 days going through the entire infrastructure, making sure everything was right, changing passwords, changing usernames, and just going through the whole gamut of literally probably hundreds of different logins to the different servers and databases and everything is interconnected and so forth. Just on the potential that something could have been got, even though nothing was, and we found no evidence of anything being compromised whatsoever, but we freaked out about it just over that. And we put in some new policies because of it, and we've changed some way we do things and just tighten it up, you know, really just get it in there, squeeze it in, and make sure that everyone's following following the rules. And I hate to say this, but we do a little bit of the IT crackdown. And but it just blows me away to see in this study that these companies have done nothing to close their potential data breach. You know, source code, whew. We've invested tens of thousands of hours and probably at this point millions of dollars in the development of the source code that drives the generator, everything that goes along with our Roku development, the Boxy, you know, literally millions, probably tens of, at least a million lines of code and millions, at least $1 million in development and, or more. So for us to, for me to consider that being lost or someone gaining access to that, that to me is just like, I wouldn't sleep for a month. So I don't understand why companies are so lax on this, but cyber crooks are finding that this is the, you know, the new frontier of being able to sell data and sell code and, you know, why build something when you can steal it, right? All right, moving to a completely different topic. The folks at Nokia have unveiled a new typeface. It's called Pure. So this is, those of you that like to, you know, and I'd be honest with you, I'm not a graphics guy, so I saw these new typefaces, and I'm like, well, they kind of look like stuff I've already seen. You know, you've seen one typeface that's pretty straight and narrow. They all look the same. But apparently, this new typeface by Nokia is going to look sharper and clearer on mobile devices. So, anyway, they've got it linked up here. It's called Nokia Pure Light, Nokia Pure Regular, Nokia Pure Gold Bold. And this is kind of what it looks expanded for those of you that are watching on the screen. But kind of an interesting font, I guess, or typeset, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, that's something that Nokia announced today. All right, looking at just double checking the time. Any of you got high blood pressure? I'm happy at this point. I'm still good. And but I know many of you probably suffer from high blood pressure. Researchers now are developing ways without medication to lower blood pressure, and they're doing this study where they're basically inserting a catheter and a generator procedure, which this probe emits a high-frequency energy directed into, this scares me, the renal artery, to deactivate nerves linked to high blood pressure. And it does appear to be effective. This is notable because the patients that are under the test, 106 individuals, are reported to have resistant hypertension that has not responded to drugs, but they have been able to lower their blood pressure with this new, this high frequency application that deactivates nerve links. You know what? Remember watching Star Trek? And, you know, the doc is running that probe across someone and you hear it, you know, making the strange noises. And, you know, we're not too far from that, are we? They're running it through our veins, but at some point they're going to have something you stick up the side of your head and they're going to find that via some sort of echoing. And then they're going to target that directly without having to do something invasive. I'm telling you. You know, science fiction is going to come to bear here soon and be the truth. Amazing. Hey, a Canadian ISP, you'll never guess who, Rogers, has admitted to throttling World of Warcraft. So back in February, Canadian Gamer wrote the government telecom regulator with an unusual complaint. Said her ISP, Rogers, was throttling games like, well, was allegedly throttling games like World of Warcraft, making them all but unplayable. Even more, the government demanded that Rogers look into the accusation. Can you imagine that happening here? They actually do something about an accusation like that? And the ISP has now admitted that it is in fact throttling WoW in some cases, but supposedly only by accident. Whatever. Ah. Ha Rogers filters are picking up several very low bandwidth intensive games incorrectly as peer-to-peer. Provided these games are fully patched, they can play in a dial-up connection with minimal issues and uses approximately 100 to 2 megs of your monthly cap. It's not really that much considering a single Netflix video in HD is 4 gigs. So apparently, Rogers thought it was peer-to-peer activity and throttled it. Oh, I'm sure gaming activity looks like peer-to-peer. So doesn't that just warm your heart, those of you up in Canada using Rogers? Hey, how many of you haven't been following the news, what's going on in Japan? I thought I'd just give you a quick update here. The plutonium that they found in and around the Fukushima nuclear plant that was exterior, not the stuff in the water, appears to be pose a low threat and should be able to get under control. But the highly radioactive water inside the plant is a big issue, and they're still working on that. They're doing some sort of a pumping action that allows the water and the isotopes to be separated. I don't know how they do that. I'd like to see that contraption. But this thing that actually does that is a little bit overloaded. But they still have their hands full over there. But they are making progress in small baby steps at this point. But the true impact will yet to be known for probably a long, long time. This next article is found over in Ars, and I'm just going to go over it real quick. This is something that it's a hacker boasting about a hack job he did on a company called Komodo. Now, check this out. Here's what this guy says. Now, this hack resulted in Komodo creating certificates, SSL certificates, for popular email providers, Google Gmail, Yahoo Mail, and Microsoft Hotmail. That's what he claimed. So this Iranian hacker, this is what he says in his post. I'm not a group of hacker. I'm a single hacker with experience of 1,000 hackers. I'm a single programmer with experience of 1,000 programmers. I'm a single planner slash project manager with experience of 1,000 project managers. So you're right. It is managed by a group of hackers, but it was only I with an experience of 1,000 hackers. You know, knowing how the Iranians like to brag, how they like to boast, we created a UFO. You know, or them having pictures of rocket launchers where CNN proved that they doubled the picture. It was just a Photoshopped image. So probably what's really the truth here is, it took us 1,000 hackers to do this, but I implemented it. Yeah. Wow. This guy doesn't have a big head. Not at all. Oh, no. I'm a single hacker with experience of 1,000 hackers. It's just hilarious. So he wrote a manifesto. He actually wrote a manifesto that... it's just too funny. You got to go through and read this. It's worth a few minutes, and you're going to get a chuckle out of it. If this guy can do half of what he says he can do, we're really all really in trouble, because nothing will be able to withstand his powers. Oh boy! Hey, my son had not seen the Sony Ericsson PlayStation Xperia, basically a little handheld job. So when I was getting ready for the show tonight, this was an article that popped on Engadget, and he said, "Dad, what's that?" I said, "Ray, that's the PlayStation in a small mobile." What? And so he wanted to read through this, and he sat down, and he wants one really, really bad. So how many of you that are PlayStation users want to get their hands on this Xperia, the PlayStation phone? Now, you know what? Be honest with you. There's no way. There is no way I am going to would allow my son to have this phone. You know, I wouldn't let him take. He couldn't go to school with this phone, because the next thing I would know is I'd be getting called from the principal saying, Mr. Cochran, we need you to come down. We've confiscated your son's phone, and he was gaming with it. There's no way. How many of you let your kids have this? The PlayStation Xperia. On a phone. Yes, it's a phone. No way. It's not happening. Hey, looks like that Jack Dorsey's back in at the helm at Twitter. So he is now back in as a CEO. So it must be Ev has left the premises or something. They change executive positions over there more often than some people change underwear. All right, over in Gig-O-M, there's a great one. I love this title. Do you need a social media detox? You know, it's not like doing a body flush once a year. This is, do you need a social media detox? And they've got a little graphic here that tells you how to, you know, signs that you may be in need of a detox. I think we all need a little bit of social media detox. I'm a little social media'd out at this point. How about you guys? Lots of stuff going on in the space program. I'm going to talk just real quickly here about the next Mars rover. And if you haven't seen this thing, it's a monster as compared to our current rovers that are on the surface of Mars. This is an article over at Gizmodo. And basically, we've talked about this particular. Is this going to load for me? Oh, that's weird. It says, we're waiting for fonts.gawker.com. Must be their site's slow tonight. But anyway, here we go. This thing's huge. And they're basically announcing it's not going to have a 3D camera. NASA does not have enough time to integrate it. And once they... first of all, how are they gonna land this thing? It's huge. So anyway, long story short, they don't have time to integrate the 3D camera, and they're gonna send it with the original Mastcam 100 on board, and that's gonna be that. So no 3D stuff coming from Mars with the new Curiosity rover. And I don't know when this thing's due to launch. I need to get up to speed on that. Have some more topics on rovers here in a second. But, all right, Trekkies, you're going to have to try this. Have you remember Romulan ale? For $14.99, you can buy a six-pack. Yes, a six-pack of Romulan ale. It's the drink the Federation doesn't want you to have. Delicious berry-flavored energy drink and a proper Romulan ale blue. 84 milligrams, only 84 milligrams of caffeine per can. Sold in six packs, just like they sell on Romulus, for $14.99. Should I order a six pack of this? I wonder how much they'd charge me to ship it. So, 84, is that a lot? 84 milligrams of caffeine? I have no clue if that's even a lot. It sounds like it's a lot, but it's banned in some sectors of the galaxy. Found this over at thinkgeek.com. All right, let's skip this one here. Let's talk a little bit about Opportunity, the Opportunity rover. You guys have been listening to the show for a while, right? You know, the rovers have been on Mars like 7 years. And the Opportunity rover has completed its exploration of the fascinating Santa Maria crater. And this is, the mission, you got to remember, this mission was, you know, just to be a few weeks. And now they're on Sol number 2450. And that's just an amazing amount of time on Mars. And Opportunity continues to deliver great pictures, great science. It trekked like 20 miles to get to this crater. And the panoramic picture it took. So we've really got our money's worth, you know, out of these rovers. And so, you know, they continue to do what they're doing. And of course, I'm sure that the mission would not have been able to be as successful as it has been without the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter overhead doing relay duty. But just the amount of data and science has come back is pretty remarkable. But you just got to think about that. We haven't talked about the rovers in a while. Obviously, the other rover is in trouble. It's probably in its final resting point, based upon one of the wheels not rolling, and it actually gotten it stuck. But they got more plans for Opportunity. And they're going to send it trekking here soon onto its next location. So I guess it's got about another 10 miles or so to go to its next crater, but it's got to do some more study at this one. And they're going over to a part of the crater called Yuma to get some more samples. But they're still grinding on rocks and stuff. I think it's pretty remarkable, really, all this time. And it is amazing. It really, really is. So let me move on here. There is, if you really think about what's going on in the science world, and you look at what information's coming back from Hubble, from the Spitzer Space Telescope, and all these other spacecraft, and also land-based stuff that we've got going on, the science coming out of there really is, I think, you know, to be honest with you, when I was a kid, my mom encouraged me to, you know, go after things I was passionate about, and I was really passionate about electronics. But I think if I'd have known half of what I do now about stuff that's been revealed and just stuff that they talk about in the news about space, I think I would have definitely went down the road of being an astronomer. I've been a professional pursuit. You know, when I read stuff like, oh yeah, here's the Andromeda galaxy, and there's only a billion stars in there. And, you know, you could think about that, just that alone. A billion. Oh, just a cool billion. And then you look at this, you know, you look at some stuff that's come out today about black holes. You know, we would be able to swallow our galaxy with just like a, you know, it'd be like a hiccup. Wouldn't even be a big deal. You know, some of this stuff is so massive in size, and so it just still, doesn't it just blow your mind? Doesn't it just blow your mind what they're coming up with and what they're detecting? And it's really amazing. Now, this detailed view that they did of the Andromeda galaxy was made up of 3,000 individual frames. Not 1 billion, 1 trillion stars. Not a billion stars, a trillion stars. It really rocks my world. It really does. We got to get someone on the show from time to time that can talk about this stuff with some, you know, in-depth knowledge. And if you guys have a contact out there that's really a big-time space buff, we need to have someone we can call on from time to time. Another thing I want to do with the new formatting is I want to have someone that is a fan of the show come and produce every week two episodes or two spots where they introduce a new mobile app. I'll just let someone else do it. I'll pay them to do it. So if you're interested in doing the mobile review every show, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. I didn't want to announce that at the beginning of the show. I wanted to announce that here in the middle where those of you that are here and are part of the Ohana that listen in deep would get clued in. But if you want to be involved in that role, let me know, okay? Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. Something else is going to be cool on the science front is that the Japanese spacecraft, a space cargo ship carrying cargo to the International Space Station is due to be deorbited tomorrow. And what they've done in this, and this is really cool, they put a probe inside called the Reber, R-E-B-R. And see, what is, it's called the Reentry Breakup Recorder. And basically what they do is they attached it to a wall, and when the spacecraft or the cargo ship starts feeling the effects of the reentry, this thing's going to kick on and start recording data about it's flipping, if it's rolling, at what point the spacecraft breaks up. It's got enough stuff enshrouded in it that it will survive reentry. It's got a heat shield and a whole bunch of other stuff in there as well. And what this thing is going to do, it's going to collect all this data, and it's going to get to a certain part in its deorbit where it's basically going to pick up the phone. Literally, it's going to call a satellite. It's going to make an MRSAT call to a satellite overhead, and it's going to say, hey, I got some data to pass to you, and it's going to pass the data via MRSAT, what it's collected, before it plunges into the ocean with no parachute. Now, the Japanese are hoping that this housing might slow down enough through the lower atmosphere that when it hits the water, it'll go, you know, go deep, obviously, then they're hoping that it will float back to the surface and continue to call home. They say it will float. So unless it completely explodes on impact, the Japanese are hoping that this thing is going to give them a bunch of data. It only weighs 9 pounds. And so the scientists will know tomorrow. And you got some cool pictures of this thing. You look at it and you're like, that will float. But this is pretty incredible. If they're able to get this data, I'm going to love to see the reporting on that. But yeah, it's due to, and they got one on the European Space Agency's cargo carrier as well. First photos of Mercury from orbit will be tomorrow. So we'll get some pictures from the NASA Messenger spacecraft, which is in orbit now around Mars. It's due to send some images home. So we look forward to that being pushed down. Hey, over on skepticblog.org, you know, scams come in all different forms. And I'll be the first to admit, this is an interesting one. There's a guy that does a lot of speaking overseas, and he gets invitations all the time from universities to go speak at different events. And this scam involves someone trying to get some, basically, to scam money out of a guy that speaks regularly on a regular basis to universities and so forth. So this is a new one, and they did a pretty good job, but the only thing that really kind of clued him in the beginning was the spelling in the invitation. It had come from a university. So you expect the university invitation to come speak, especially from a professor, to be, have done spell check at least. But pretty cool scam, and he caught on real quick, but it just goes through the full process, and you're going to love what he did at the end. Those of you that are doing any type of web design for your website, got a great article over at webdesignerdepot.com. Talking about 10 web design elements that you shouldn't overlook. I have that link up in the show notes for you. If you're in Belgium, and you are a truck driver, hey, Trucker Tom, check this out. The Belgian Music Royalty Collecting Agency, called SABAM, S-A-B-A-M, is stepping up their enforcement activities, and they're trying to collect money from truck drivers who listen to music in their cabs without an appropriate license. Wow. This organization has been known for targeting schools and kids, community centers, charities that sing Christmas carols without a license, and even crash weddings if they have to. All right, those truckers need to get tuned into podcasts, don't they? Oh man, funny! The Nintendo 3DS is launched finally here in the United States. So if you've been wanting a Nintendo 3DS, they're available. They've been available in Japan for a couple of months. A lot of people have been talking about them. A lot of people are excited to buy them, but it is now available on the street. Hey, you're gonna love this one. The RIAA, if you can't beat them, join them. The RIAA has had a lobbyist now who has become a federal judge who is now ruling on file-sharing cases. Last week, this is an article we covered last week. Last week, Washington, D.C. federal judge Beryl Howell ruled on 3 mass filing-sharing lawsuits, basically in favor of the RIAA, and it turns out she just came from the RIAA. She was a lobbyist for the RIAA. How does a person be a lobbyist become a federal judge? How does that happen? Oh, here's how it happened. She served as a general counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee under Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, who has close ties to the copyright industry. Of course, Leahy is one of the big backers of the COICA web censorship law that he guarantees will be passing this year. There, Howell helped write the law extending wiretrap powers to the internet, along with the No Electronic Theft Act. This is amazing. She then moved to the private life where she began lobbying for the RIAA from 2004 to 2009. She's only listed hot lobbyists at the firm. Their RIAA was their exclusive lobbying client for most of the time. A lobbyist disclosure form describes, didn't the president put in a thing where he said anyone that comes joins the federal government has to disclose completely their lobbyist activity? So apparently this form describes her as working on legislation concerning copyright laws as applied to digital music. Wow. Now she did contribute to the president's campaign. And what else? Can you believe this? How come she didn't recuse herself? Why did she not recuse herself of this ruling? This is unbelievable. And it just goes to show you, they can't beat us in the court of law, then they're going to change the rules, and they're going to get people appointed, and they're going to beat us that way. She's the one that ruled that those mass lawsuits can continue. Yes, she is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So Miss Beryl Howell should have recused herself. Can you believe this? What do you guys think? I got to hear from you on this one. Do you think this is right? Or just more par for the course? Man, it's just how amazing is that? I just can't believe it. I really can't. Does it shock you guys? Or do you just like more par for the course? It's just something's wrong with this system, folks. It really is. There's something very ethically wrong with that. And I hope we hear a lot more about this. All right, let's move into a little more tech stuff. Intel's doubled capacity, drops price, and refresh of SSD line. So what Intel has announced today is a new line of consumer-class solid-state drives based on its smallest 25-nanometer circuitry that replaced the chipmaker's long-selling and most popular X25M series. So this new series is going to have more capacity and reduce the price by up to 30%. So some of the SSD drives were going to go as low as $100. So it's pretty good. They talk deeper in here on the actual capacities. But look forward to these coming out. We'll see what happens with this new line from Intel. Pretty cool product over at Ogizmo. And this is, I follow Griffin stuff all the time, but Griffin has got what's called a Power Jolt Micro. And what this does is it powers your iPad in your car. So if you're having, you know that if you plug a standard iPhone charger into into your car lighter, it will not charge your iPad. But this new device will do this. It draws a little bit more current. So the Griffin Power Jolt. You can charge your iPad from your car. I have a link up in the show notes on this. Got some tips here from Making Windows Easy. They got a series of great articles today. Talk about how you can now in Firefox 4. It tells you how to do some tricks that aren't very obvious. If you're used to using the backup bar or that little pull down in Firefox 4, Firefox 3, where you're able to pick the page that you wanted to back up to. Now all you got to do is right click over the top of the backup button, and it'll give you the same menu. Also, there's instructions on how to burn ISO files in Windows 7. So if you're not familiar with how to burn an ISO, and this is a great way to make a backup of a computer. Shows you how to do. They've got a program on there called Windows Disk Image Burner. So definitely check that out. That's a good article that I wasn't familiar with, but I learned a new trick on Windows 7 today. If you end up with a bunch of DOCX, in other words, the .docx files, and you're trying to send them to someone that does not have a newer version of Word, there's a good there's a online conversion tool. It's called .docx Converter. And if you're using OpenOffice, there's a program called OpenXML Translator. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. This whole article talks about how you can open Doc X files with these different applications and actually convert the files. I have that link up for you. Also, and those of you that have IE9, I've been noticing with my install of IE9, programs have been pretty aggressive about trying to change the default search engine. So there's a way now that you can manage add-ons to force it to stop changing the default search engine. A link will be up in the show notes on that. And my kids are going crazy over Xbox 360 Live. And I actually had to pull the plug on them a little bit. They got a little bit over. It was nuts because I'm hearing all these talking in the background. They're playing this one game. And I'm like, that is annoying. And, you know, they're all talking amongst one another. And so what I did is trying to get them on some other games. But my son says, Dad, you can download a bunch of free stuff on Xbox Live. And I'm like, really? And I went online and searched for some stuff and actually found some games that you can download for free on Xbox Live. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But my kid's cluing me in on gaming stuff. Okay, over on Lifehacker, they've got a great article on the basics of video editing. And this is a multi-page article. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you on that. You can check it out. Those of you that are Mac, OS X, of course, if you're on a Mac, almost everyone's on OS X. But if you've got an SSD drive in your machine, you'll know that Trim is not available on Mac OS X. At least with the upcoming 10.7 version, the Lion version will have Trim support coming, so that you can basically get higher performance out of your SSD drives. But there's a new application out there. It's called Trim Support Enabler. And you can enable Trim support for any SSD model for Snow Leopard. So I don't know if this costs any money or not, but you'll definitely want to do this if you've upgraded, if you've basically pulled your standard drive out and dropped an SSD drive into your Mac. You'll want to check this application out. Again, it's Trim Support Enabler, and you can find that at hardmac.com or groths.org. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Hey, some new startups available, trashnothing.com. While I was cleaning the office here, obviously it's, you know, anything you haven't touched in 3 years, you need to throw away. And actually, you know, my wife is really good. She's like, honey, that's what works, what's good, what isn't outdated, what can I donate to either Salvation Army or, you know, put it somewhere where we're going to have a garage sale, because you don't want to send junk to these organizations. They already get enough junk from people. So I said, well, this stuff is good. This stuff can be turned in. This stuff here is truly junk. This stuff can go in the trash. Well, if I'd known about this website, trashnothing.com, you know, another person's trash is another person's treasure. So you can list stuff on there that you just want to give away and have people pay to have it shipped out. Hey, KL wrote a great article over at Geek News Central talking about banana.tv. And you got to check this out. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. It really, really is. And it's bananatv.net, excuse me. So if you're a Mac user and if you use Mac as a media hub, and you aren't interested in getting an Apple TV, but we'd like to use your AirPlay mode, you may want to try Banana TV. Once you download and install Banana TV, it will appear in the menu bar. And Banana TV uses the AirPlay protocol to allow you to stream AirPlay-enabled videos or AirPlay-enabled videos or images from your mobile device, including your iPad, back onto your Mac. So this is pretty cool. You got to check this out. This has got a lot of reads and views. So definitely check this out. Link will be up in the show notes. And I got to bring up the picture here. If you didn't see it already on Geek News Central, the some pictures of the studio. And as you can see, this is kind of the facing inwards looking into mission control here. And then this is the stack of gear. And it's basically where all the audio gets routed into and processed. And then where all the audio and video gets controlled. And then basically what I look at while I'm doing the show, and then the TriCaster down in its soundproof box. And of course, looking from the back of the studio into it with the cameras and so forth. So I got a write up there. You can check it out, but gives you kind of some insight into the studio here. And it's kind of funny when you take a picture, if you guys notice on the very, here, I'll tell you a little secret. on the very first picture, if you look at my chair, you can actually see some dust on the legs. I missed dusting a couple of areas, and I got to go in and hit, but a flash really picks up dust really well. So, you know, guys, we just clean the surface. We don't look around the edges at all. And this next one, those of you that are Android users, you know you're going to want one of these. When you see this, you're going to want to run and order some. I'm just telling you straight up now. And this is, oh, come on. Load website, load. I don't know why the websites are loading so slow tonight. Must be got very popular. All right, if you go over to, it's called the Android Phone Headset Solution, and it's a little Android man. It's from Makible, MAKIBLE.com. Why isn't that coming up on the doggone page? All right, my website loads fast, but that site did not load quick. So disappointing. Anyway, the link will be up in the show notes. And I didn't look at the price of this, but when you see them, you're going to be like, I don't care what it costs. You're going to want one of these. And it's pretty cool. It's a little slick little Android guy. And basically what it does, it goes between, you plug this into your headset jack on your mobile device, then you plug your headset into this, and it's just a little Android. He looks pretty cool. So I'll have that in the show notes. Hopefully it'll load for you, because it didn't load on my website at all. Now, the Japanese are always coming up with cool stuff. And this one here, I saw it, and I'm like, this would be really good. And what it's called Twimmel. It's a Twitter toy pet. And what it does is it reads your tweets for you. Now, sadly, this is only works in Japanese. It doesn't speak English, but you got to leave it to the Japanese to come up with some stuff like this. And what it is, it's just a little USB device that plugs into your computer, and it's a Twitter animal is what it is, and it comes from a company called Takara Tomy, and they're pretty famous for coming up with these little gadgets like this. But they change their voices. Watch the video. It uses up to 10 different voices. Once you see the video, you're gonna hope you know just for nothing else to have one of these on your desktop for people to say, what's that, and have you plug it in and check it out. Okay, American Express is announcing a new service called Serve. It's a digital payment platform. We've talked a little bit about this already, but it's going to be tied into a new credit card they're launching called Serve. And you can charge it from other accounts. You can use a credit card. It's a competition to basically compete against PayPal. And you can add money, send money, request money, you can do transactions. It isn't tied to your cell phone, so you can wave a cell phone over a product yet. But hopefully that comes soon. Of course, NFC payments is something that we've been longing for here in the United States, something they've had forever in Japan, for at least 10 years. And yet we don't have NFC payments yet here. Cannot wait for it to happen. That means I can if I'm just buying a soda or something, I just wave my cell phone over it. Boom, I get the drink. I don't have to worry about getting out my credit card. I don't have to worry about getting out cash. Cannot wait for NFC payments to come. And once you understand how that fully works, you're going to be like wanting it to. It's dangerous, especially if your kids are using your phone, but definitely very convenient. All right, no iPhone 5 at WWDC this year. That's the rumor. So apparently they're going to have WWDC in June, and everyone's saying no iPhone 5. I would doubt that. They're saying iPhone 5 may not come until the fall. I would be very surprised if they did not announce iPhone 5 at WWDC. It just, I'm hoping they do. I'm ready for an upgrade. I'm going to go to a version 5. And I really didn't want to wait until the fall to do that. But that's the rumor on the street. Okay, I'm going to show you a car that gets like 94 miles a gallon. It's called the Smart Forto, F-R-O-T-W-O, Smart Forto Ed. It gets an official EPA rating of 94 miles per gallon, 79 miles per gallon on the highway. So that's interesting. 94 in the city, 79 on the highway. And the sad thing is it only goes about 73 miles on a charge. If this thing had just a little more range, this would be perfect for Hawaii. But here's the kicker. You can't buy one. You can rent one for $5.99 per month. Huh? Now, you can lease a Leaf, a Nissan Leaf, for $349, and they're going to rent this, or you're going to be able to lease this for $599. You can't buy it. Did I show that to you guys before I flipped it back? I don't get it. Do they want to sell? Obviously, they don't want to sell any of these. But at $599 a month, no way. $600. I can have a full-size, beautiful, you know, you can, for $600 a month, you can have a, how much of a car can you have? That's like a $50,000 car, right? And you won't get that kind of gas mileage. Maybe it will, depending on what you buy. But $600 a month, there's no way I'll ever have a vehicle I'll spend $600 a month for. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. I told you guys how I buy cars, right? I make myself payments every month. And then when I go buy a car, I buy cash. All right, the Chumby has grown up. Now available with an 8-inch 800 by 600 touch display. So, you know, the Chumby we thought wasn't going to be updated. But it has been updated. You can get it for $199. And there's all kinds of apps available in Android platform. So very cool. So you can get a Chumby app on Android. Well, the Congress is facing raise our debt ceiling to $14.3 trillion. Well, they're going to raise the $14.3 trillion debt ceiling. Looks like they're going to do that. I don't want to make this a political show, but come on. When is the madness going to stop? You know, how much more money are we going to spend? Crazy. Hey, Firefox 4 has rocketed 5% of global usage. IE9 is hanging at 1.5%, so they haven't had as fast of growth as they thought they would. March 31st is World Backup Day, so don't be an April's fool. Back up your data. Check out your restore. So World Backup Day is the 31st of March. So I'm going to do it. So everyone, sure, on Thursday, you back up all your machines. Make sure your restore points are good. You know, just great way to kind of double check and make sure that all your data is secure. Good time to make sure you've got all your pictures sent up to the cloud or wherever you have them stored offline. Good time if you've got an offsite storage thing like I do to make that swap out. So great way to back up your data on World Backup Day on March 31st. Last article of the night is from Android Central. James Gosling, the Java godfather, has joined Google, purportedly maybe working on the Android platform. This guy is a genius. He invented Java back in 1994. He has got a huge brain. This is huge. Now, he got elected to the U.S. National Academy of Engineering, and he became an officer of the Order of Canada. So I don't know, maybe some Canadian can tell me how important that is or how big of a deal it is. But if you're using a computer on the internet or you have an Android phone, you can almost be guaranteed he had a hand in its operating system and basically what you can do on the web. So anyway, very cool on what's going on the news front here. Let me go ahead and get into the email comments. I've got just a few of those before I bounce you out of here and keep us on time tonight. Didn't get any voicemails, so again, if you've got comments that you want to send to the show, you can do that by emailing me at, or if you want to call into the show, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365, of course, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Okay, first article up is, let me look at the date here, make sure that I've got the right time hack we're going to do from here forward. We already talked about that. I talked about this, talked about that. So I got to go here. Okay. Is this actually from a listener? Yeah, I got this from Trucker Tom. Motor Specialist Haynes produced a manual for the unsinkable ship. So this is a... how many of you have gotten Haynes of car books for your vehicles? Probably all of us have gotten one of those, but Haynes put together a 1909 to 1912 Olympic class Titanic manual. So they've got instructions on how to repair stuff that was in the Titanic. I have the link up in the show notes. This is pretty funny. Thanks, Trucker Tom, for that. I have good catch. Got an email from Gio. He says, "Hey, Todd, awesome studio. It really puts the icing on an already fabulous podcast. I always listen one of these at Watch Live for the complete experience. Regards from Barcelona, Gio." Thanks for being a fan, Gio. Got an email here from Lamar. He says, "Todd, I think the taxes will be taken from those tollway transponders. That way it can be taken automatically." I think you're right, Lamar. Absolutely. And he sent that from his Q Phone 4. Frank says, "Hey, Todd, we already have a mileage tax. It's called gas tax." Yeah, we talked about it on the last show, Frank. We sure do. He says, "The more miles you drive, the more gas you use, the more tax you pay. I can only see one group of benefits from a mileage tax: the companies that make the gadgets that would keep track of mileage. It's the gee whiz school of tech. Do it with tech, not because there's a benefit, but because you can. Like wiring up your refrigerator to order your groceries for you. Frankly, I think the refrigerator hasn't caught on because no one wants it other than the person who makes the circuit boards and the person who goes golly gee gee whiz at the newest shiny pebble in the stream. It would easier, simpler, and less expensive to raise the darn gas tax to something reasonable." Hey, Frank, it's already huge. There's nothing reasonable about it already. We're already paying like 80 cents of every gallon goes to the feds on tax from fuel. He says, it's less expensive to raise a darn gas tax to something reasonable rather than to create a new tax that comes with the building capital cost of buy more gadgets. He said, here's a related story. The motherboard in our refrigerator went bad. Huh? The motherboard in our refrigerator went bad. I didn't even know the darn thing had a motherboard. We didn't pick it out. It was here when the house was purchased. Why does it have a motherboard to do what relays and thermostats have done wonderfully for years? To sell motherboards and turn a $90 30-minute repair into a $400 3-week backorder ordeal. He says, I love tech, but just because you can is not a good reason to force it on a person. It's a good reason only for hobbyist inventors who sometimes manage to turn because you can into something that benefits. So Frank, your motherboard and your refrigerator went bad. Did your food go bad or did it keep your food cold? Oh, man. And thanks for Russell for his email. Now, I got an email from a listener asking for some advice on a show. Let's see if I can find this real quick. I didn't pull this into the stack. He sent me like 3 emails. Oh, boy. I didn't grab it and pull it in. I do have the emails, but I have to go back and... Is this it? No. No. Where's it at? No, it's not that. It was in the morning time. Let's see here. Okay, here it is. Nope. I got an email from Randy. He says, "Hey, Todd, I've been watching your show for a few months and made it regular in my week. Do enjoy it. And I have a question for you. I noticed that all of your shows on techpodcast.com are, of course, tech. But I'm thinking about starting a show about books. I'm building a website at ebookcharlie.com. It's for selling books. I'm considering promoting it with a podcast/show. I'm asking because you're so knowledgeable about those things. I won't be live. I'm going to tape the shows, edit interviews, etc. But the show will include opening news about industry, tech news about how to use a website to publish your book and writer equipment, book reviews, insider interview with agents, publishers, editors, whatever tips, and whatever else I might think of. It probably make the show about a half hour to up to an hour. No, don't, on that type of show, 30 minutes. There are a dozen good writer conferences around the country I will attend, report on, but my main interest is driving people to my website to buy and sell books. It's also putting a store on the website to sell related electronics. I went to Hong Kong this year and got set up with various manufacturers to buy and sell ebook readers and iPads. I'll be talking about them also. Do you think there might be a place for me in your operation, perhaps on Blip? If so, how to proceed? I'm ready to get going. Thanks for your time. I love the show. Randy." Randy, you don't need me. You can just get started. If you're running the website and you have WordPress on it, put PowerPress plugin in, get it installed, get it set up, start recording your shows. And if you want to host with us, yeah, you can host with us. That's fine. There are several ways you can host your media. But getting started, you're probably going to be small. You may not need a professional CDN. But the main thing is just, it looks like you got a plan. Just go ahead and launch that baby. You've already got the domain. I guess if you're ready, if it falls into the timeline of where you're ready to go on your website, then I say just go for it. And send me a link to your first episode. I'd be happy to promote it here on the show. And but anyway, I don't know if his website's ready or not, but ebookcharlie.com is the website. Good luck, Randy, with that. And of course, we are now need to wrap the show. And I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me tonight. And I'll be back with you on Thursday evening to record the show for a Friday day release. And I want to appreciate everyone for hanging. It's been a lot of fun. And as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Let me look at the right camera. And voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. We'll see you till next time, everyone. Take care. See you on Thursday. Aloha.